Welcome to the Inside Mac Games Podcast. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller, a goon for Harmonix.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing pretty good. We've also got Justin Ficarot of Kill Monty fame.
Howdy.
We've also got Steve Zay from Freeverse.
Hello.
And making his triumphant return, Tunser Dennis, the founder of the Inside Mac Games Network.
It's the final countdown.
He knows that,
Tunser,
man.
It's been so long, what have you been up to?
Dude, that's from the early 80s, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
middle
Europe.
80s? Yeah, huh? Well, I went on vacation for like a month, and I came back and I'm all depressed.
Oh no.
Why is that?
Well, because, I was at the beach for like 4 weeks, so it was nice.
And now you gotta deal with us.
Yeah, and then you come back to the Inside Mac Games podcast.
Exactly.
Blam.
Damn.
You were in Florida?
Yeah, I was in Florida, and my parents were celebrating their 50th anniversary, so.
Oh, nice.
Ah. Yeah.
Was it actually you that picked up the phone when they called you?
No, that was my brother.
He got scared and immediately hung up. Wait, what's your brother's name?
Tamer.
Tamer Dennis.
Oh, that's nowhere near as good. Tunser, would you mind if I started calling you Tons of Funser Dennis?
Yes.
Okay, then. And this is your Mac Gaming News for Wednesday, August 2nd, 2006.
Yeah, so you still got the cheesy music, huh?
Oh yeah.
All right, this week in the news, AMD buys ATI for $5.4 million. Let me stop that music. The Sims 2 opens the business for... Sims 2 open for business hits beta games that need sequels, Rise of Nations patched, Apple releases wireless Mighty Mouse, Cold War demo released, Legion Arena reviewed, Apple II game servers, Armado announced, Game Ranger updated, the top 10 casual games for Mac, and virtual programming has a clearance sale. All this week on the IMG podcast.
And more.
Absolutely. All right, so AMD buys ATI for $5 billion. What do you guys think about that?
We've got about 5 different articles related to this purchase, and it's like Blake said earlier in the debug. It's like they're bickering back and forth at each other.
It's like children arguing with each other.
So computer processor maker AMD today announced it would acquire graphics chip maker ATI Inc. for $5.4 billion in cash and stock to expand its product mix and grow market share as it battles Intel Corp. Under the terms of the deal, AMD will acquire all of the outstanding common shares of ATI for $4.2 billion in cash and 57 million shares of AMD common stock based on the number of shares of ATI common stock outstanding in on July 21st. Blake Buck, what does that mean? Go.
Dude, I don't even know. That means
AMD said it would pay $20.47 for each ATI share. That makes 24% premium over ATI's closing stock of $16.56 on the NASDAQ on Friday. So, if you own some AMD, or if you own some ATI, rather, you get some money. So, this is good if you've invested in ATI in the past. Now, I don't know if you've invested in ATI, if your stock stays ATI, or whether it's now AMD. I'm not really sure how that works.
No, it doesn't. It becomes AMD once the whole thing, you know, settles. It has to get approved by Congress and blah blah
right.
blah blah blah, all that stuff. But if you bought it at like $16.56, then yes, if you keep holding on to it, then you get whatever, you know, money for it. So, but besides that, that's not the point of this whole thing. How much money you're gonna make off of this? It's kind of a big deal because, you know, AMD buying out a graphics. There were rumors before that Nvidia was gonna be bought out by someone and. So now it looks like ATI's been bought out, and what's going to happen to that industry? You know, what's you know, is AMD going to hog all the graphics processors now, or what's going to happen with all that? It's kind of an interesting scenario, and how that bodes for, you know, Apple and Intel and all those other companies, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
So NVIDIA should team up with Intel and just have like a tag team wrestling showdown battle.
Yeah, they can pit their best luchadors against one another.
Yes.
So does will the ATI product line continue, or do we just not know?
I don't think we know at this point. I think it'll probably continue, but I mean it's such a wild card to kind of guess what's going to happen to ATI, if they're still going to release Mac products and support Linux and whatever, right?
So yes, I'm sure there's going to be pressure on Apple's end now to move away from ATI and go with NVIDIA.
Right.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. I mean, ATI could stay as it is a graphics processor maker, and they could keep on coming out with Mac drivers and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know the answer, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Some people
hey guys, watch this. Watch this. Hey Steve, what do you think about this effect on the Mac gaming market? Go.
Whoa! Ow.
How does this affect Mac gamers? Go.
About that.
Well, some people are worried that you have a competitive chip maker that's now providing, graphics processors for Mac computers, and somehow the competition
right.
there between AMD and Intel is going to affect. What chip goes in what computer. I don't know, though. I mean, you sort of saw the same thing. Go ahead.
They can be, snobby about it and be like, oh, screw you, but I think they're going to go where the money is, and if Apple's going to keep on buying ATI cards from them, then I think that's not a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Good point.
Yeah, because ATI has said here in their retort to NVIDIA's retort to the original news article, that they are still going to support Intel chipsets, and they're still committed to their GPUs and all that kind of stuff. I think they just want to be able to integrate better with CPU creators.
Yeah, plus it's good for AMD because ATI is in freaking everything now.
Right.
Like the Nintendo Wii and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Jason D. O'Grady writes, will Intel allow Apple to continue working with ATI on graphics after they become wholly owned by rival AMD? I think that what we'll probably see is Intel will gently suggest that Apple switch to another vendor for graphics technology in 2007. Once the dust settles, I bet that all Macs from here on out will ship with graphics from either Intel or NVIDIA.
Don't bet on Jason O'Grady.
Who is Jason O'Grady? How'd this get in the news?
He's this dork that's... Oh, I'm sorry. He's this guy who started... who started O'Grady's Power Page. He used to be a popular, PowerBook website long ago. But anyway, SLI is pretty. It's a pretty cool concept. You basically can put in two boards and increase your frame rate by almost double, right? By having two video cards in your PC. And I'm sure this is something that's going to come to the Mac Pros whenever those come out. It's a cool idea because instead of changing out your processor in the future, you could just throw in another video card and then, basically have a nice, faster gaming machine, right? ATI has this thing called Crossfire, I think it's called, which is kind of like SLI. You can put two video cards in, but they don't have to be of the same kind, whereas NVIDIA's SLI, the video cards have to be exactly the same. It's a cool technology, and hopefully the MacBooks or Mac Pros will have them whenever those come out.
Do you see the same kind of performance boost that you see in SLI with Crossfire?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the video card. I'm not too familiar with the Crossfire stuff, but with NVIDIA stuff, you definitely see like a whopping increase on a lot of games. I mean, something like you can go in from 100 frame rates to almost 200 frame rates by dropping in another video card, so it's really nice. The only problem, of course, is that you know, whoever has $600 for a frickin' video card, you know, you'd have to spend another $600 for a video card for another one, you know. So it's kind of a pricey item if you're really into games and you want the highest frame rates and all that, so.
Yeah,
and all that to run Cold War?
Well, look, Tuncer Dennis likes his frame rate.
That's right.
my favorite part about this whole shenanigans is NVIDIA's response to the whole thing, which and just the whole thing reminds me of the Iraqi information minister there, what's his name, Mohammed Saeed Al-Sahaf there, the guy that basically, you know, U.S. was basically, you know, in his house, and like, oh, you know what? The American dog is over. You know, they're losing. They're on the way out. The same thing with NVIDIA. NVIDIA is like, okay, you know what? They did this big deal because they're dead. They're throwing in the towel. We win. We're awesome. Long live NVIDIA. And they're gonna get trounced. They're done for.
You know what's funny? Like I've worked with the ATI guys a lot and worked with the NVIDIA guys, and they're like Coke and Pepsi. They just hate each other. Absolutely hate each other. Wow. So. I'm not surprised by all the bickering going on.
I've talked about this before on the show. ATI is much better at providing graphics cards to small game companies, or small Mac game companies at least. Like, when I was working at Green Dragon, we'd get, you know, ATI cards all the time. It was rare, very rare, that we'd get an NVIDIA card in the mail. So. Anyway.
Well, what we need to do is...
Is there anything else on this ATI fiasco?
Yes, we need to get spokespeople from ATI and NVIDIA. Like, I know we talked to the ATI guy at Macworld. Get them both on here and just let them go at it.
Luchadors.
Battle.
Luchadors. Battle. That would be battle for the books. Sims 2,
Tuncer,
go.
Do you know about Battle? Have you heard it?
Oh, he'll hear about it. Sims 2, go.
All right, so the Sims 2 open
All right, so
for
the
business
Sims 2
for Mac.
Oh, you take it, Justin Fig.
I'll take it. The Sims 2 Open for Business for Mac has hit beta status. The expansion pack, scheduled to ship in September, is licensed from EA and under development for Mac by Aspire Studios. So now your Sims can create their own businesses, design their clothing boutique, beauty salon, florist, high-end electronics shop, front for a drug business, bustling restaurant chain, or any other type of business. You can hire your staff,
did you slip
do
front
whatever.
For a drug business in there?
No.
Justin Dick.
So, more information on the Sims Open for Business can be found on Aspire's website.
And most importantly...
So, who's excited for this? Show of hands.
Dude, you let me run do some drug trafficking, you got a sale.
Yeah. And one thing, guys, I'm sorry, I'm running over what some of you guys are saying, because I got about a second lag of when I say it and when it shows up. So I'm sorry if I run over you guys when I'm talking...
Hey, you know on the old IMG website many, many moons ago when all the Sims expansion packs were coming out, we did like an April Fool's joke. It's called the Sims Milk the Cow expansion pack. you guys ever read that?
No,
it's not. I saw a picture of it on the IMG content system.
Yeah, it was probably like 5 years ago before the website was database, so it's all gone now. But anyway, it's really funny. We even made like this box art that had like a cow and these EA executives milking the cow or something. I don't know. It was something like that. and the whole description of the game or the expansion pack was like how to make more money off The Sims and, you know, just... It's just nutty wild.
I love it. All right, so the games that need sequels.
Need sequels. Go, Blake Buck.
I'm taking this. Get out of my heat. All right, so Firing Squad has posted an ongoing feature of games that should be but never have had sequels released or at odds of revival. This week they took a look at RTS games that have never been followed up on, such as StarCraft, Homeworld. What? Clive Barker's Undying, Giants, and... I know, what? Who wrote this article?
Fails.
Idiot.
Fail.
Idiot. Done with that page.
All right, Rise of Nations 1.0.1 patch has been released. Maxsoft has released a patch for Rise of Nations, fixing an issue between in-game sound and QuickTime 7.1.2. So if you've been having problems with Rise of Nation, you can download this new patch, and it'll fix it.
Very cool.
Hey, speaking of Maxsoft...
Is it? Yeah, this is like the first thing to come out of them in like a year.
Oh, yeah, and they got more stuff coming, Blake Buck.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it the pipes?
Can you say Universal Binary Halo?
Ooh.
Whoa. I liked Halo, I'm that would be a myself. Big deal.
And you know that game that they've been supposedly going to be announcing soon? Well, they're finally going to be.
You mean Halo 2?
So. No.
Oh, well, then who cares? Lee Miller.
Fuck you. Fix your heat.
Dude, there's not enough, like that guy who was talking about the internet last week, there's just not enough power to go through the tubes.
Well, you didn't miss much. Tunser won't tell us what cool Maxsoft game is coming out.
You'll hear
Come
about
on,
it
Tunser.
Soon enough. I predict it'll be
Will we hear about it this week?
No, not this week, but maybe week after, so we'll see.
Maxsoft Blood
You better, we're holding you to it.
Roller Coaster Tycoon, the movies. It's the movies. It's two. Alright, he's back.
Alright, I turned Bimbuck's porn off.
Stop running those torrents, man, I'm telling you. Stop.
Look, he's got me a booby.jpg.
Illegal
booby.torrent.
Booby.torrent.
Booby.torrent.jpg.
Alright, somebody take this Legion Arena heat.
Oh, did Tunsit? We didn't hear the Mighty Mouse at all on my end.
At all?
It'll be in the podcast. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Because we're all recording. So the live show missed it, but they'll hear it later.
I mean, I've got the Apple wireless keyboard and an MX-1000 myself, and they work great together.
So, yeah, I have a Logitech Cordless Duo, and that's working great. I'm using it right now.
Is that the one from Macworld?
No, I got a copy of that.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea what you're
thinking of the laser. That's the one from Macworld. That's the one Bruce has from Macworld.
Alright, Cold War, go!
Just pick, or go.
Alright, a demo of the action-adventure game Cold War, created by Mindware Studios and ported to Mac by Runesoft, is now available for download from MacGameFiles.com. The 445-megabyte demo is available as an HTTP or BitTorrent download. So, Cold War follows a story of a freelance journalist who finds himself in the midst of international conspiracy that aims to control the Soviet Union 12 hours after Ryan. So, basically, you shoot stuff.
Well, that's kind of cool, though. You're a journalist, and there's an international conspiracy to control the USSR. 12 hours after arriving in Moscow for a routine story, he's been stripped of all possessions, beaten unconscious, and thrown into the KGB's political prison. You know, that sounds a lot like what happened to Blake at Macworld.
Yeah, I was just thinking, it sounds a lot like the Buckhouse.
But you know, it's like... But it's... Tell me that it doesn't just end up as you're just picking up guns and shooting people, though. It's like, why do you need the story at all? It's like, yeah, it's a good story, but your dude's still going to end up with a gun and shooting people in the face.
So, why is this not
I'm not too
Universal
excited
binary?
About this game, though.
It's not... The demo is not
on
Universal
game,
binary.
On, like,
why?
GameSpot, it got, like, sevens, so...
I haven't played the demo yet, but I'm going to try it. But the thing that pisses me off is, why would you release a demo that is Power PC only? You know, and then announce...
Especially
and
now.
And then it says, oh, note, Cold War, the full game is a Universal binary, right? Like, why would you do that? I don't get it. That's my beef for
I guess if
RuneSoft.
It was too hard.
I mean, I hope it works out for them, because I'm making a game that's going to be 68K processors only.
That was a thinker. Good job, Justin Fick.
I got it.
Well, I'm a little slower.
All right, Bug, I hope you have the music queued up for this one.
What? Music?
I hope you have the music queued up for this one. Apple II game server.
Alright, ByteSeller has posted a brief look at the Apple II Game Server, a Java app that allows users to run games on their Apple II computers without the use of floppy disks. Now, you can use a null modem cable attached to a newer Mac or PC, and the game server provides an easy way to access the classic games without having to make use of aging floppies. Now, this is actually pretty cool. If you have, you know, and I know a lot of these disks are starting to bum out, and just, you know, I've actually got all my old Mac Plus floppies that are starting to fall apart. So, you know, this is a cool way to, you know, to really preserve all these old titles, you know, just like 20 years old plus.
This is such a great idea, but what if I don't have an Apple II? How do I play this stuff? Do you think it would work with an emulator?
Emulator.
Well, I'm sure if there's emulators and ROMs, that's something completely different. But this is if, you know,
oh, yeah.
this program is for playing it on your Apple II computer.
Man, what a great idea. It's awesome that you can still network an Apple II machine with one of the newer Macs. Like, that just blows my mind.
It's through like a parallel interface.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're still talking to each other, and that's like... Like, if you tried to network together an old PC like that with a new PC, your head would
your
explode.
House would blow.
It'd be like dividing by zero. You can't do it.
Crossing the beams.
Yeah, exactly. That's really cool.
I bet you guys thought I was going to play the Apple II song in that article.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm better than that,
Apple
right?
Apple II forever, making life better and better.
No more.
So what I want to see, though, I want to see a MacBook Pro and an Apple II linking together for a game of Halo. Blam. I'm not gonna be impressed until I see that.
That's what I want.
Yeah, that's what everybody wants.
William Miller, our motto, go.
All right, our motto for Mac announced, the new software company Tricky Software announced today. It's developing Armado for Macintosh and Windows computers. The game is an arcade-style game revolving around an armadillo named Armado. He gets caught up in an adventure that will take him across the land through dense woodlands and all the way through fiery volcanic mountains.
This sounds kind of cute. I need to check this out.
Because we know you like cute stuff. It's currently
scheduled. It
looked
a lot like
release.
Bugdom 2 when I checked out the screenshot.
Oh, okay. It's scheduled for release in October, and let me see what the website is here so I can tell you. Like, but write the website in the news. Well, I guess you can't.
Dude,
it's
it is in the news.
TrickySoftware.com. TrickySoftware.com. The screens from this actually look really good. Like,
yeah.
Although, there's only one of them on the site, and I can't get to anything else.
You just go to info. It looks like, yeah, it looks like Bugdom 2 with an armadillo.
All right.
Cool. Check it out.
I'd like to take this next article, if you guys don't mind.
That's fine.
So Game Ranger has been updated. The Macintosh Online Gaming Multiplayer Service has been updated to 4.5.2. The latest update adds Aspire's recently added Civilization 4 and enhances network connectivity. So it's got much faster connection login screens, added better way of seeing what game person has installed, a whole bunch of stuff, and of course, Civ 4. So the next article.
Now, Game Ranger is a pretty lonely place. Do you think that Civilization 4 is going to sort of boost the use of Game Ranger at all? I mean, it's got
we should have a sound effect for Game Ranger.
For the crickets, sure.
Crickets.
Oh, you guys are bad. You guys are bad.
All right, I'm doing everything I can to get this working. I don't know why it's falling to pieces.
All right, well, I just read that whole article, and nobody heard it, so somebody else take it.
But what irks me about the whole casual game movement is, like, you know what, yeah, it's cool that there are games now that are much smaller in scope, but there's kind of, like, this extra baggage attached to it that these have to be, like, you know, cutesy, not, you know, like, just puzzle games, you know, with alliteration in the title, like Diner Dash and Betty's Beer Bar, and, you know, all in, it's just like, well, it's like even in the article it says, you know, like no one has time to, you know, just play a game where you just blow up anything that moves. Like, you can have a game that you blow up anything that moves, which is a casual game. you know, there's nothing wrong with blowing stuff up for exactly 5 minutes and then putting the game out. It's like there's this just extra baggage tied onto it. This has to be some harmless, non-violent swap three puzzle game or something.
Well, the thing though, Justin, is that you know, all these games are really made for the, you know, the casual gamer, and to describe the casual gamer is, you know, it's someone who doesn't like those kind of, you know, shoot 'em up, bloody, whatever type of games, right? So they're really geared towards, you know, mom and dads and grandpas and grandmas, and, you know, most of the customers who buy these type of games on MacGameStore.com, they're all, you know, the majority of them are women and
really?
Dads and moms, and yeah, I mean it's really amazing, and you know, people buy them and they have fun with them, and so I don't see anything.
Tonsu Dunes, could you hook me up with a hot date from MattGameStore.com?
No. the only problem I have with it though is that there's way too many clones and copycats, and that is one of the things that kind of bugs me about the casual games market. I mean, it's, you know, there needs to be more original kind of thoughts, you know, when these guys are making games.
Not only does it seem, is it derivative though? I mean, it seems completely like formulaic almost, you know, because
yeah.
It's like you look at all these games and like, just like for instance, having titles with alliteration where all words start with the same letter, they all do this. Someone must have put like a golden rule is that, you know, that gets people's attention or something. So every game does that, and it's just like they all
Blake
follow
Buck.
this tight little, yeah, Blake Buck. They all follow this tight little formula, and mm-hmm. it's just like even more so than commercial AAA games. You get all these Me Too titles that are, you know, just copying every little thing.
I think the reason for that though is most of these games are very, very easy to re-implement. I mean, Bejeweled is not a hard game to code. It's just not. So, it, you know, as opposed to your AAA first-person shooter, I mean, it's like nothing to make one of
yeah,
these games.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but the thing is, though, that these games are just, they're selling really well, and the casual game publishers, they're going to keep on doing these clones as long as people pay for them, so... I mean, I do hope that this industry evolves into, you know, more kind of the original titles and, you know, whatnot. That's what I think needs to happen. Anyway.
All right.
Virtual programming clearance sale. Mac Game Store is clearing out all virtual programming games. Once these titles are gone, they will no longer be available. That's right.
Everything must go.
Mac Game Store is offering.
What about Gangland?
All of them are going. All of them are going.
Oh no!
You can use coupon code VPClearance to get 10% off any virtual programming game.
All right, so, now, Chunter, can you read to us the list of games as if you're reading?
I was just about to ask
prize
that.
Prize list. The contest that we used to have in the beginning of the contest.
Celtic Kings, Gangland, Hearts of Iron. Oh my god, I misspelled it. Hearts of Iron, Lords of Iron, Horse Racing Manager, Kickoff 2002, Night Shift, Massive Assault, and X2, which has already been sold out, so you can't even buy it anymore.
And Return of the Ring.
The Lord of the King,
oh, that's an oldie.
Return of the Jing.
So, oh, yes. So did Mac Game Store have some falling out with virtual programming? Is that what happened here?
Yeah, you could say that.
Ooh.
Well, let's get them on here and do battle with the...
Battle.
Tons of Dennis.
Battle. This wouldn't have anything to do with gamerhood, would it?
No, it has nothing to do with gamerhood, but it's whatever. It's
now,
pop.
You had a meeting with those guys about gamerhood. Can you tell us anything new?
No, I can't say anything just yet.
Tons of carries a lot of beans that need to be spilled.
Okay, here's what I have to say about this virtual Ooh. Programming and Freeverse and Aspire and everything. In my opinion,
digital downloads to be available to everyone and everywhere, okay? And so, in my opinion, you know, you should be able to buy Call of Duty digital downloads from Mac Game Store or through a little app called Gamerhood or whatever it is. And so, you know, that's my belief is that in order to for the Mac gaming market to keep on to grow actually and not be in this decline, digital downloads should be available everywhere. The Apple website, MacGameStore.com, Yahoo Games, whatever. You know, as long as it's available in the market everywhere, then we will see like dramatic increases in sales for Mac gaming. What I am opposed to is one site having, you know, a title and not allowing other people to basically have those games. Thank you, Freeverse, for allowing us, or I should say MacGameStore.com, to letting MacGameStore put up Wingnuts 2, and then we'll have Legion Arena next week on, you know, on the website.
So, you're welcome.
As a developer, though, you would think this is common sense. Like, okay, well, I want anyone to sell my game, and as long as I get my piece of that, then great. You know, I get 1,000 more people, I get more sales. You know, it's just...
Yeah, but as a developer of a distribution service, you want to have the exclusive rights to the hottest new thing. So, you know, Tensor, I don't know what the subject of the meeting you went to was about, but, you know, it would be really bad if... you know, Aspyr laid claim to some of this stuff, and it didn't show up on other digital distribution systems just because, you know, they have the exclusive rights to distribute it through Gamerhood. Because, you know, just as you said, it needs to be everywhere, not just one mechanism for distributing everything.
I agree. I mean, what's interesting is how the casual games market works. You can find Bejeweled 2 on almost every website out there. You go to AOL Games, you go to Yahoo Games, Pogo.com, iWin.com, Big Fish Games, I mean, et cetera, et cetera. And they've sold millions of copies of Bejeweled 2 because of that. So, you know, I'm a big fan of a free open market, and I think that's how the Mac gaming market is going to get out of this rut. You know, if Aspyr all of a sudden can sell, instead of 5,000 or whatever, 10,000 copies of Civilization IV, now they can sell 40,000 copies, you know, of Civilization IV, that's huge, you know. So that's my beef with digital downloads. I think they should be available everywhere.
But at the same time, if you were to put it everywhere, could you still have the, you know, like the licensing and locking to keep people from stealing?
Yeah, see, that's what we were sort of talking. We were speculating that Gamerhood is sort of an app that works in tandem with their plans to do the copy protection stuff. So their licenses and all that would sort of like Steam. It would all be coordinated through through Gamerhood.
Right.
You lose the ability to do that if you distribute with other people.
Put your heat all over the place.
Right.
Well, we'll see about that.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see if you lose that ability. We'll see.
Ah.
Anyway,
it sounds like Tensor knows something we don't.
You know what? I'm not here to rip virtual programming. I think they're a great bunch of guys. I just don't agree with their business philosophy. So, and that's pretty much it. They're more than welcome to come on this podcast and argue.
Battle.
In battle.
Yeah, they could battle. But that's, you know, that's my opinion, and you know, I'll stick with it. I just think that the Mac gaming market needs to head to a direction where, you know, if digital downloads are going to rescue Mac gaming, which I think they will, they should be available everywhere.
Well, that's, I don't know. I don't know about rescuing. I don't know. I think the only thing that's really going to rescue Mac gaming is first-party support.
First-party support.
Mac developers.
And Ryan Gordon.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only way. We need the Mac for. We need a GameSprocket back. What happened to that? Like solid game APIs from Apple. We need our version of DirectX. That's what we need. Anyway, sorry.
Dude, Ryan Gordon's just gonna come up to Apple, and it's gonna be over with.
He and the Kool-Aid Man are gonna break through the wall.
It'll be like Commando.
All right. So now, who do we give it to? Steve Zay or Tunzer, the Segways?
Well, I don't know. See, we could get Steve Zay on the show whenever we need to.
Anytime.
Tunzer Dennis is elusive.
Like, right.
Okay, well, let's do it at the same time.
Segway.
It's going to be a chorus.
Okay, same time.
What section is this?
Done. That's it.
Done.
Best segue ever.
All right. So, Andrew says, hey guys, congratulations on your 30th episode. Thanks so much. I wanted to point out that Game Life, a video game review-related show, has reviewed Wingnuts 2, Rain of Inch in Episode 6. It's about three-fourths of the way through, so check it out at GameLifeShow.com. So they have a podcast, and they review Wingnuts 2, and they're listeners, so go check it out.
Their main criticism of Wingnuts 2 is that it gets kind of repetitive after a while, which, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't take a lot of stimulus to keep me entertained, but it holds my attention.
Yeah, but so does, you know,
give me
a lot of things get repetitive, like podcasting.
Wow.
So go check out their show, GameLifeShow.com. We have another email from Typhion. It says, hey, Blake. The podcasts are great. There hasn't been anything specific I can comment on, hence the lack of emails. Overall, it's very funny, and I'm upset that Tunzer didn't answer his phone. The sissy. I can't find out how to get in on the chat. I do have Skype and was thinking about phoning in via Skype as a student. You can't expect me to use a landline because it'll cost me money. I sympathize.
Well, the best thing to do is use the landline. If you live in the U.S., you can either use the landline or use Skype and call the landline. Because landline is the most effective way to get connected.
Right, use Skype and call us on Skype via
231
landline.
231
Heat D Go. 231 Heat D Go. He says, I really like the video podcast, and I'm eagerly awaiting the next one. They're so funny, I can show my friends.
Well, I'm talented, what can you say?
Well, Curtis Fick just got the, we'll get the pleasure of seeing the Call of Duty video. We were actually playing that on the Xbox, raising our DNPM.
That's dead Nazis per minute.
Yes, which will be on the glossary shortly. But, it's like, you know, the Jets and Guns one got passed around here like a bad case of herpes.
Okay, we got another
that
one from Mike.
Is not Tunzer approved.
Not Tunzer approved. He says, hey guys, it's Mike. I think you will like this. It's an audio clip that I recorded from one of my friends prank calling a round table pizza using Skype, saying that she had just won an Apple II. So, Blake Buggy got that audio clip queued up?
Let me pull it up real quick. I forgot where his email went.
Actually, I skipped one.
What have I done? Yeah, go back and get that other one first.
All right, we got another one with an audio clip. We got a bunch of emails with audio clips today. That's pretty cool. This one is from Adam F. Says, dear Blake, hello, this is Adam. I'm in Nashville, Franklin, to be exact. And I've listened to your show since episode one. Well, the second episode, but I downloaded the first episode and listened to it, then episode two. But this is not what I wanted to email you about. I want to be the Inside Mac Games podcast intern. I'm more than qualified to be your personal slave. By the way, attached are some audio files that you can use for segues. They are short, so you don't have to worry about turning down the music. Also attached is a new song to piss off Justin Fick. It's the Dutch version of Barbie Girl. Guaranteed to cause Fick to throw his headset.
Dude, one of the little earphones or little ear things on his headset is like...
Hey, Spitzer! Heb je zin om met mij een avondje te gaan stappen?
Wie denk je wel wie je bent?
Ik heet Moppie, ik ben lekker man!
Tetsu Dennis, have you heard the cake song? This is a new phenomenon on the Inside Mac Games podcast.
No, I have not.
Oh, you haven't heard the cake song, Tetsu Dennis?
No!
Okay, fine.
Just take our word for it.
Now. I won't play it now. Later.
Okay.
When you won't be expecting it.
Well, cue up this audio.
I just played it, but I guess you guys couldn't hear it. I guess
no.
I gotta drag it to the desktop first. Oh, here we go. Here's this Barbie girl. In Dutch. Are you guys ready for this power?
Do it. But not a lot.
Hey, Spitter!
Huh?
Heb je zin om even mijn avondje te gaan stappen?
Wie denk je wel wie je bent?
Ik heet Moppie, ik ben een lekker wijf met een heel mooi lijf.
Alright, enough.
Ik hou van zoenen.
Enough of that.
Now see, I'm unarmed this week. Like, I am not in the Justin Fick residence. I'm in the former Fick residence, so the Death Star is
oh,
not
Oh, so you don't have the Death
reach.
Star?
No.
Alright.
So let's see. Mike. We may take that email while it's loading up. Go.
All right. Well, I took this one already. This is an audio clip of Mike's podcast, I think. Mike prank calling a pizza company saying that he's won an Apple II.
Now, I played this. I listened to this clip, and I think it's a little fake.
We'll see.
We'll see, though. Let me see when they open it up. I don't know that power. All right, here we go.
Hello, thank you for calling Roundtable. My name is Ryan.
Can you hear that?
I'm trying to get your order for pickup delivery or dining.
Can't hear it.
Thank you for holding. Have you been helped?
Yes, we have.
I
just like. Sorry.
Have you been helped?
No, we haven't been helped yet.
Okay.
Because you've just won an Apple II computer from Apple II Computers, San Francisco.
I won an Apple computer? Cool.
Dude, fake. Fake. Fast forward.
All right, Mike, you've heard it. There's some question as to the authenticity of this
yeah.
prank call.
Suspect.
It's got the suspect.
Listen to this
die.
Part. Just listen to this part. Oh, it's not playing.
They're cool.
Oh, wait, I missed it. I wasted it. Gotta go back a little.
Computer from Apple II Computers, San Francisco.
I want an Apple computer. Cool.
Who says that? I want an Apple computer. Cool.
It doesn't
Fake.
Go on after that.
Better try
that
harder.
Not?
No, that's it. Don't say anything after
that's
that.
No, oh, you just play the song and it ends?
See, we need
that's
more
it.
Verbiage than
yeah,
that.
Yeah. You need follow-through.
Let me make sure. Let me open it up. Maybe there is some follow-through at the end.
Like, the guy should have asked for, like, you know, like, what's your birthday? What's your measurement? That was
the end of the clip.
Lame.
Lame.
Suspect.
Lame, Mike. Don't waste my time.
All right, we got another one from Spencer C. He says, yo, I'm the guy that sent in about you guys being guests. I guess he invited us to be on his show. I was bored and heard something about you wanting a new theme in advance. It's not just piano. You got to wait for it. Wait a minute. There's piano in this? Okay, he says,
oh, yeah,
made it using GarageBand. The only instrument I use is my family piano and the computer. Keyboard on a new MacBook. So, Spencer C. has designed us a new intro theme, and if it's lame, it's going to get the Buzzer X. The Buzzer X. No, Buzzer X bomb is reserved for battle only.
Yeah. Reserved for battle.
Own special.
This might be it. I might have queued up the wrong one. I can't even hear that power.
I think we can hear it.
Yeah, we can hear it. We're gonna get some distortion.
Soft piano. That does not sound like the IMG podcast.
Damn, I'm gonna
cry. Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Wait, he says it's not just piano. We gotta wait for it.
Yeah. So, if it goes
through
the distortion
guitars, I fast-forwarded through half of the clip.
Cancer Dennis, come closer.
Oh, There better be some techno
hardcore
quick.
Techno after this.
Oh man.
Tricks?
Damn, that's beautiful music.
Look into my eyes. I want to hold you.
Uh oh. Yeah.
That's too much for me. €2 for me.
It's too long. Good effort, though. Thanks for the clip.
Yeah, good effort. Maybe.
Yeah. It's got, see, the Inside Mad Games podcast theme has to be abrupt. We click go.
10 seconds and awesome.
Yeah, it's gotta be in your face already. But anyway, I feel a little closer to all you guys after listening to that. I really
do. I was just picturing the podcast crew like walking like towards the camera in slow motion with all their hoodie sweatshirts, like all Armageddon style.
Yeah.
Tatsu, you still have your hoodie, right?
Oh yeah.
He wears it every day. Tutzer Dennis refused to wear the hoodie that we gave him for Macworld. He wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it.
No shame.
No shame. All right, who's next?
Take us next email, go.
All right, it says, hi, IMG Podcast. This is from Mark B. of Arabian Stud fame. He says, hello, IMG Podcast. I have updated it a little.
I don't know how to talk.
With the story of Inside Mac Games told by Fred, and then, what is this? Countdown
Get
to Buzzer
there,
X Explosions.
Oh god, it's so loud.
Man, I want to go kill someone now.
What was
Inside
that?
Inside Mac Games 1 founded in 1993 as a flash-based magazine. Since its inception,
oh, this is the about page.
Been at the forefront of the Mac gaming scene, providing news, previews, and reviews.
Sure, it's nice being in this fancy computer.
Today, IMG is published on the web and to subscribers via the Mac Games DVD.
All right, fast forward a little bit.
With an
3, 2, 1.
Uh oh.
That's kind of cool, though. I don't know.
Whoa.
It's got guitars, we like guitars.
That was Tusser Dennis's leg I just slapped.
Oh, I my God. That.
So this week I got with me Tutsu Dennis, the father of Mad Games.
Hello.
Oh man, that's hilarious.
I got William Miller. Nobody likes
I've
him.
Also got
nobody even knows who he is.
I know.
This is long. You guys send us these audio files that are so long. This is like 4 minutes long. Alright, I'm gonna skip it.
Oh, that's it. Podcast over. You guys are glad to have me back. We can go home now. That's it. Podcast over.
Alright. Well, thanks for the clip, Mark B, but you gotta make it a little shorter. We have very low attention spans.
Mark B is very versatile. Like he's good at Photoshop, did good on the Arabian Stud and on the William Miller statue. And music too. Very versatile, very versatile.
And Tunzer, he already has an IMG Pro account for life. So you like him already.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him. Hey, we're going on over an hour, so can we get on to something else? Please.
Well, see, in reality, we're stalling for Bruce.
Oh.
Steve, do you know when Bruce is going to get in?
It's been an hour.
We're getting along. We only got about two more emails. All right, so let's see. It's next email. It's Stefan. He's a little unhappy with us here. He's got a lot of words on this page, and I don't like reading words. Joseph, can read these words.
No. This is too many words.
Well, then we're skipping this email.
Dude, I read the first. I saw that it was like a 3-page email. I was like, skip, X, X, X. So, moving on to...
Stefan, you got to know better than writing us a two-page email. All right, Pastor Steve.
We got one from Pastor Steve. Here he says, there are times in one's life when one looks into his soul and sees only pathetic misery. I have checked iTunes every day for the last week, which is more pathetic, the fact that Blake can't put together a podcast until more than a week after it's aired, or the fact that I'm so thoroughly addicted that I actually care. Have mercy on me in Christ, Pastor Steve.
Equally pathetic. That's what I say.
Blake Buck, do your job. Blake Buck is actually getting paid now. Blake Buck got some money from IMG.
Right.
Really?
Oh, not yet.
How the hell did that happen? So now you got to do your job.
Yeah, wait.
That's right.
That's to me.
What's yeah, when did that happen?
When did that happen?
I thought you got money.
Oh, it's coming soon. Me and Tuster Dennis got to talk money. Coming up here soon.
Well, anyway, it's coming. So that means you got to get the podcast up on time.
Blake's got to put out first. So.
Well, he's good at that.
It's true.
Out. All right. Kyle says hi, Blake, Jason.
Throw them away.
What?
Do you want to take this last email?
Well, it's about Kyle on J-List finding old Mac games for sale. Kyle, why are you on J-List? Get off J-List.
Why are you on J-List? Get off J-List.
All right.
One more email we have. He says, this is from John K. He says, love the show. I usually listen to it while I was traveling to and fro. And I swear people must think I'm nuts when I bust out laughing, riding on the bus, or walking down the street. Anyways, I've been noticing a few movie references to D. Soylent Green. D is used as to refer to currency. You can get hot dogs for like 8 Ds. Maybe it means dollars. Who knows? Also, in A Scanner Darkly, Substance D is the mind-altering drug du jour. So there you go. D. It's growing.
D.
It's catching straight on. To the millennium.
Yeah, it was us that started it, not these guys.
All right, Blake Buck, what's next? Stump Buck, right?
And now it's time for
no.
a story to... Wait.
No, it's the contest.
No? The contest, right. Hang on. I'm getting the power.
See, we tried to use new software called Ubercaster, which is this new podcasting software that's still in beta, and it sucks.
It sucks. It's for noobs. All right, now Steve Zay or Tunster Dennis, whoever wants to do a segue to the contest, go.
The IMG Power Contest!
Are you crying over there or what?
We've broken Steve Zay.
Alright, so last week on the podcast, this was after our Golden Statue Contest. What was it? Oh, that's right. Last week was Sippin's birthday, so we asked you to call into the listener line and sing Sippin a happy birthday. So let's check out our submissions right now. And by right now, I mean as soon as I can pull up the folder. Stalling for time.
How many did we get? Like,
we got a lot.
We got about 7. 8.
Wow.
Some of these are just listener line calls. Let's listen. All right.
Well, here's what I recommend we do. Blake, have you screened these already? Because I don't want to listen to 8 different people sing happy birthday.
No, they're only like 10 seconds long.
All right. Well, this better be rapid fire. Have that buzzer X ready. All right.
Okay. Oh, the buzzer bomb? No, just buzzer.
No,
X.
Buzzer X. Buzzer.
Just buzzer X.
Okay. All right. This is from Alex. I don't think this one's about the contest though. It's going.
Hey, IMG Podcast. Just wanted to say, I forgot to do the stump bus, but I wanted to throw out Majesty. That's right, Majesty. Stump bus with that.
Majesty?
That's not even a game. People make up stuff on this show.
I think you stumped him, Alex. What's the next one?
Majesty, it's a game where you play a king. Yeah, king done something. All right, this one's from Stefan.
Dude, you totally ruined the battle there. You're just not.
What?
Anyway. Okay. You're sounding in a funny voice all the time. You sound ridiculous. You've got the reverb on. And you said you didn't even know how to turn it on. You stupid fuck. You're dumb.
Oh, good sir!
Goodness!
That language.
Slap your face.
Goodness!
Slap your face.
Goodness!
You pissed him off, Plague Bug.
Plague Bug, we need to screen these before we play them.
There's no time for that. Alright, here's Stefan's first entry for the sing-along for Sippin's birthday.
Happy birthday, Sippin. Happy birthday, Sippin. Happy birthday, happy birthday, Sippin. Happy birthday, Sippin.
Alright. I like the other one better.
Let's try this one. Okay, this is another one from Stefan. Apparently Stefan thinks he can call in an unlimited number of times.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
No.
Happy birthday to Stefan.
Nope. We're done with that. Happy... Alright. Your last chance, Stefan, to redeem yourself.
Happy birthday, Sippin. Happy birthday, Sippin.
Not bad, sir. And then we got something from Mike here. What is this from Mike? Mike knows more about podcasting than us. What he's got to say.
Hey, you know what? This is Mike. Last time, you guys hung up on me, so this is what I have to say.
Oh no. Okay, thanks, Mike. Alright, now our last, let's see, we got a few more, about two more. This one's from Peachy, who's from, like, Ireland or something, I think.
Dr. Flangzebo is proud to sponsor the Inside Mac Games podcast with his marvelous new product, the new Suck and Blow, which both sucks and blows.
All right.
We've heard this before.
Nothing new. All right, we got one more for Alex, from Mike. This is our last one. Oh no! No, you can't counter cake song us.
It doesn't work.
Alright, so who's our winner, guys?
Well, see, I could have sworn that Stefan sung Happy Birthday in Swedish for Sippin.
No one else sent in anything.
I think you missed that one. Because it was gold.
Yeah, but he was the only one who sent anything in anyway.
Okay, well, he wins
so
by default.
I guess Stefan wins.
Blam.
There you go. All right, so next week's contest, go William Miller.
Okay, we can give away a copy of Wingnuts, can't we?
Oh, that's right.
For next week's contest, so this one's got to be pretty good. How about something Freeverse related?
Yes, yeah, Steve Zay, do you have any suggestions?
Fan art for any of our games.
There you go. Fan art for any Freeverse game. The best picture wins.
The top three will win free copies of Wingnuts 2.
Oh man. So three chances to win.
And they'll go into the scrutinizer live, Mr. Steve Zay.
Repeat game or an epic game, like we released Robin Hood and X2, like a Freeverse. Yeah.
It's got to be a Freeverse original, is what you're saying.
Send all your tweets
in, I'll forward them to Steve.
Yeah, and no compromising pictures of Jin or Monkey.
Okay, now, I was checking my logs here on my website because I was stroking my ego, and I was checking my logs and just checking all the hits that my website gets from searches, and I'm scrolling down the list and I see I see two hits for the search phrase Freeverse software girl naked. I don't know who this is. don't know who's responsible.
Peter Cullen, man.
But someone is after Jen.
Peter Cullen.
Steve Zay, get on
Shame
that.
On you. Shame on you, Peter Cullen. You made
you got a new project, Mr. Zay.
Look, there's porn right, of so everything contest... on the internet. I bet he found what he was looking for.
Yeah. So that's the contest for next week, guys. And now it's time for everyone's favorite section. Stall as Blake Buck looks for a clip. There it is. Stump Buck. Steve Zay, go.
Stump Buck. What section is this?
You use that segue.
Zay, you gotta stay on the ball.
Stump Buck.
Stump Buck.
All right, awesome.
All right, Mr.
So
Buck,
got
I've got.
Wait.
I've got heat for you.
I got heat for you, man.
Oh man,
oh,
Steve.
Oh, I'm ready.
Has brought the heat.
Ready?
All right, well, Steve, you go first.
Okay. Darwin's Dilemma.
Oh, I did that one last show.
Oh.
No, two
really?
Years ago.
Sounds
yeah.
so familiar.
I just did that one.
You did that one?
Yeah, I did that one already.
True. I don't know that podcast.
Yeah.
Back up heat.
Because I so totally know what that one is.
Because it was a stumper. I'm glad both of us
played.
Oh, yeah,
because I said it's not a school that we can teach in schools.
Yeah, it's not a Wait game a that we... It's not, yeah. Right.
You know what I mean.
Well, look, Steve Zay, great minds think alike. Don't feel bad. It's okay.
I won't.
All right, Blake Buck,
I'll
tell
you what, we'll take a wee more and you can take us some more.
Yes, I will.
Okay. Fit, go.
We may go.
All right, I'm going. Pipe Dream.
Okay, you go, Fit.
Oh. Pipe Dream.
Pipe Dream. Pipe Dream? Oh, wait a minute, was this, yeah. I don't remember where I played, but there's a conveyor belt at the bottom of the screen. And you gotta get the water to go from one side to another. You gotta pick up the pieces, and they make little junctures, and you gotta... And if they go past the thing on the left, you lose.
That sounds pretty close.
Did he get it right?
Yeah!
Oh my god.
Heck, yes, I got it right.
I don't remember the conveyor belt, but they did make a lot of versions
of this game.
No,
that's at the bottom. You had to keep picking them up and moving them if it got too far to the left.
Ick.
See, that was a time element. Oh, my God.
I think he got it.
Oh, Ick.
All right,
well, I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to redeem you, Ick. I'm going to redeem you.
Avenge me.
This is one of my favorite games of all time. I went to Origins with Howard Shear and Green Dragon Creations, and this is all I did, is play this game at our booth. All right, you ready for this heat?
I'm ready.
My heat today is Battle Girl.
Oh,
Battle Girl? What? Come on, dude. Battle Girl was sort of like the precursor to Kill Monty. You're in these 3D arenas, or 2D arenas with sort of 3D graphics. You went around, you shot the monsters that came up, and William Miller just got pwned! Next, sir.
Oh, actually, again, I have to plug this. I think Green Dragon had something to do with the porting of Battle Girl to Mac. And Feral Interactive publishes it now, but we had something to do with that code. So.
Jank that code.
We janked that code. Oh, right. Somebody redeem me. Tuncher Dennis, redeem me.
Okay, ready? Ready?
Alright, go.
Oh, okay, go.
Short Circuit.
Short Circuit? That was that cheesy 80s movie with that robot. Johnny Number 5.
Johnny 5 alive.
Johnny Number 5!
I knew you'd say that. It's not original.
What?
Slap your face.
That's Number 5.
So what is it? Short Circuit.
No. I still might get it. Hang on.
Oh, okay.
All right, Short Circuit. It sounds really familiar. Short Circuit. I think it was like a arcade style action game, right? Top down shooter.
Buzzer X.
Oh.
Oh.
What is it then?
It was a puzzle game with a little microchips, and basically you had to click on the matching ones, but only if a line that could connect them only turned twice.
Mm. Oh yeah, that sounds real familiar. Yeah.
Bull.
It sounds real familiar.
Toaster Dennis.
Alright, I got one for you.
Alright, Toaster Dennis, lay it on me.
Operation Desert Storm.
Ooh.
Operation Desert Storm?
Was that an H-10 attack
derivative?
Not
call a war in the 1990s a game.
I know this one.
That was like Iraq Senior.
It's very, very good, Blake.
You got 10 seconds.
Okay. Operation Desert Storm. Obviously a war-themed first-person shooter. You run around and you shoot the little Iraqis or whoever you're shooting. I don't know. And... or Kuwaitis or something. I don't know. All right, you shot them and then you won and long live America.
Nope.
All right, then.
First ever Bungie game.
Ooh.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Bungie created. Around?
Yeah.
No, Bungie's first game was, I thought, GNOP.
This was after...
Right. Maybe,
it was
maybe
GNOP. This was after GNOP.
Oh, Blake Buck has counter-stumped.
Like Toaster. Yeah!
I think you're right. GNOP was the first one, and then came the fantastic...
It seems that my knowledge of Bungie has far surpassed you, Mr. Dennis.
Okay, whatever. Oh. It was this... All right. I think it was like a tank, top-down tank game mm-hmm. that I never, ever
played.
Oh. Yeah.
I remember this from my bonus History of Bungie book that I got with my marathon box set.
Ah, yes.
All right, well, very cool. All right, so now it's a segue to the interview with, I guess, just Steve Zay.
Oh, great.
Oh,
we got to do any listener stumps, or?
we got to save
the show's going to run a little too long, so we'll go ahead and do this interview, and then...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. The interview.
It's now time for the interview.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So Steve Zay, we're here. We're to talk about Wingnuts 2. Lay it on us.
Oh wait, Bruce is now available, but he probably can't join for a bit. Anyway, Wingnuts 2, Freeverse.
So give us an overview of what it is for those of us who have not played it, if anybody hasn't played it. What is Wingnuts 2?
Wingnuts 2 is a top-down shooter where your plane can move in 360 degrees on a bunch of different maps. You basically are playing and shooting down enemy fighters and tanks and battleships and giant robots and giant snake beasts and octopus monsters.
And Blake Buck.
Awesome.
Blake Buck is in level 3, right, Blake Buck?
And four.
Yeah, he's in 3 and 4, and you get to shoot him down in 4. So just for that, everyone should get it.
That.
Right.
Yeah, that's worth the price of admission alone.
So specifically, Steve Zay, what was your role in the Wingnuts 2 development?
I was tossed around, basically at Freeverse, I'm the creative director. So did the menu interface,
mm-hmm.
or just the design of it, and then some of the more out there boss and weapon graphics.
Okay.
And all the land you're flying over is stuff textures I put together. And anything with Jen or the pilot faces would be me. Mark Anderson, the programmer, he's actually really good at freaking everything. So he did all the plane models and the flying 3D screen in the beginning.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Is he available to be on our show?
He's not usually online, and when I see him online, it's extremely rare. I mean, if at Feverest, when we needed to talk to him, we would just call him.
One of those types. I understand. So, what was what were the big differences between development of Wingnuts 1 versus development of Wingnuts 2?
Wingnuts 2, we decided to go really bigger with it. Wingnuts 1 was basically, Mark had come to us saying, oh, this, I'm really into planes, and we've been working on this plane game. So we did a little bit of work to add some character to it. Colin Lynch Smith, vice president, gave voice to the Baron. So the game did well enough that we wanted to do it again. And Mark had already started working on his new game engine, which has a really crazy, awesome editor that if once Bruce comes in, he can talk about it. But so made 30 levels for the game. I probably started work, that game took 2 years to develop, but only because me and a bunch of some of the people that were working on it, one of them left the company, and I was working on other stuff. And then Bruce came along and pretty much took the reins and did all the level design.
We saw that really... Oh, Bruce is online here. Hang on. Bruce, can you hear us? Bruce?
Mr. Morrison?
Hang on, he's having a little trouble with Skype. Anyway, he'll pop in a minute. So, we saw this really awesome level editor at Macworld. Is that the same thing you're talking about?
Yeah. It's pretty complicated to use, but Bruce and I believe Mike are writing a manual for it.
So, does the public have that? Is that distributed with Wingnuts 2?
If you get the DVD, it comes with it.
Awesome.
And Bruce is totally open to get emails to get people working on scenarios for the game.
So, will there be some distribution mechanism for adding new content to the game?
If someone makes something, I'm not sure what the process would be, but if it's really cool, then we'll definitely link to it.
So, the installation of, like, if I want to put it in a new level, it's not that hard to just drop it in?
Well, there's a bunch of things in the editor that are the requirements that the game needs to actually run a scenario, so it won't compile the level if you're missing those things. But I think Bruce's manual will cover all of that stuff.
I see. So is there some more user-friendly version planned for later, or is that just what they get?
That's pretty much, I think, what they get. I think Mark has moved on to other things right now that the game's done.
Right.
It's the complexity gives you really a lot of options. You can actually make a completely different game if you wanted to.
Really? Like, how much control do you have over changing the assets, for instance?
You can change any art assets. You can add more backgrounds and different particles. I mean, Bruce is the one really to ask, because he's the one that knows the cult. Or not even, like, even yesterday he discovered something new. Which
really?
Is crazy. Yeah.
So, is there a PC version of Wingnuts 2 planned?
Our PC programmer is currently working on something else right now, and is he'll get to it, but it won't be out anytime soon.
So it's in the pipe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe.
Very cool. So we're trying to get Bruce on here to talk more about the level editor. Can you think of any sort of unique challenges you ran into while you're making this game? Anything that you haven't seen before, or something that, you know, was interesting when you developed?
Well, the problem with the first game, I guess, was the repetitiveness and the increasing difficulty. I mean, that other podcast said it was repetitive, but we did try to add different objectives to the game. Like, you get to higher levels, they'll ask you to do even different, more weird stuff. But usually the format's destroy everything and then fight the boss.
Uh-huh. We just lost tons
and,
of
time. Oh, okay. Well, then that means you can add in Bruce.
Well, he said he had to head out. Bruce is getting a microphone.
Tundra has to run.
Yeah. Bruce is getting a USB mic. So he'll be with us in a second.
Alright, so Mr. Zay, you did all the art for the characters, right? Did you face unique challenge in the art department?
I had originally drawn them one style, and midpoint of the game, we were going to use Comic Lifer stuff, and the degree of detail I had on the character artwork was a bit too much for me to handle. So I decided to redo the art style of at least the character assets for the game.
Really quick, can you hear me, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce Morrison.
I have found the microphone, but I haven't found the headset part, so I'm holding it to my ear. So if you'll give me, 2 minutes to locate this and let Steve continue, I will be able to join you.
And true, okay. Bruce
I apologize
Morrison
for this to everyone listening in.
No problem.
I'll be just a moment.
Who's the biggest asshole at Freeverse?
Hey, just because Tundra Dennis is around doesn't mean you can throw language like that around.
That's right, I'm sorry.
Who's Freeverse?
We all, are snarky with each other in the office. I think the worst person is either Tim, who's in charge of shipping, which, would make someone like that, or Mike can be pretty bad. And I think I'm pretty bad also. And when Bruce says something, it's basically in retaliation for me busting on his chops or whatever.
All right, so Tim, you're alive in the IMG
one time
podcast.
I messaged,
that.
One time I messaged Steve and Bruce, and Bruce was Ted, and Steve was Bill. From Bill and Ted.
Right.
It's a dynamic duo.
So, are there plans for a Wingnuts 3?
Not right now. We have so much stuff in the pipe. Someone could, you could take the editor and make 30 new scenarios if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
All the assets are in there for that.
Let us sell it.
No, I mean, it would be...
That sounds like Bruce.
Bruce, can you hear us?
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes, excellent. I can hear you just fine.
Bruce, give us a rundown of the sample editor for Wingnuts 2.
What's up? What would you like?
We've been talking about the level editor provided to the users for Wingnuts 2, and you're writing a manual for that, correct?
Yes, very slowly.
Very slowly. So, it seems like a pretty complicated piece of software. Do you think people are actually going to use it, even with the documentation you're providing?
I sure hope so. I really hope it piques a couple people's interest. I think you can really do a lot of fun things with it. What I'm really imagining is people are just going to play with it on a smaller scale, which is totally fine by me, make a level or two or make cool units or enemies and that kind of stuff. It'll be probably slim to none that someone makes a full-blown scenario.
Right.
You don't have a lot of faith in me, huh, Bruce Morrison?
No, not very much. How is the Inside Mac Games game going, huh?
Don't bring that up.
Well, to tell you the truth, Justin Fick has been tangled in petroglyph hell for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So well, now that he's out of that, we have...
over.
Now that Petro is
over. That was weeks ago, man. I just saw his ass in Vegas.
Yeah, this happened, about 3 weeks ago, but just never really got around to announcing it on the podcast. But, Justin Fick is returning to independent game development. And
See, you don't ridicule him for calling himself independent game developer. I hate you guys. I hate you. I hate you guys.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, put out a game, William Miller.
Blake Buck, my pick. Sure, is going to be in Guitar Hero 2. Is your picture going to be in Guitar Hero 2?
Ooh.
No.
Dude, my picture is going to be in Hustler.
Okay, so I have an anecdote. Blake Buck applied for a job at Harmonix. And I was telling the guys, you know, to be on the lookout for a resume from a guy named Blake Buck. And the art director was like, Blake Buck? That sounds like a name that needs to be in porno. And indeed it does. Blake Buck. So what about this wow. Unity thing? Speaking of the IMG podcast game using Unity.
Yes.
You guys are going to use Unity for new titles, correct?
Yeah, right. I think more of that's going to be talked about on August the 7th with WWDC.
Ah.
We're going to have a showing at WWDC of one of our Unity games.
Excellent. Will there be a demo?
Well, of course.
There'll be a playable version at WWDC.
So can you talk a little bit about the experience? I mean, I know you probably can't talk about the actual game itself.
Yeah, I think we can. It's been announced. I think it's actually on Unity's site.
Yeah, the Unity site has one of them out, so.
Yeah, it's called a big, what is it, Big Brain Board Games? No, Big Brain Games, sorry.
Big Bang Brain Game.
Too many Bs. Yeah, it's like the next step from the Big Bang board games is now the Big Bang Brain Games.
I don't like that.
Yeah. Yo, you'll love it. You'll love it, Blake Buck. It will eat you alive. You're going to love
it. Like Brain Age?
Not really. Just because Brain Age is totally focused about the stylus.
Touch.
You know. But it's along the same ideas. It's puzzle stuff that makes you think.
Right.
It gets the old brain kicking.
Hmm.
And it's very pretty.
Very, very pretty. Steve's doing art.
Cool.
I'm just doing the character art. Actually, the guys that are doing the other end, this looks beautiful. Looks really gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone will want this on their Mac.
So what I'm really curious about, though, is how is making a title, you know, with Unity different from making a title from scratch? I mean, have you run into any specific problems or specific, like, you know, improvements?
So far, the only problem I've seen is there's a little bit of bloat in Unity.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, these are casual games and Unity's designed to make a first-person shooter, and there's a lot of bloat you just don't need. However, it's overcome by the fact that all of these new Macs are just so wicked fast that it doesn't even matter.
Right.
And there's a little bit of making the PC side work isn't as...
Yeah, I noticed that wasn't quite as full-featured.
Not quite one button?
Yeah, it's not quite one button. But it's close. It's closer than building it like from scratch. Like putting the Big Bang board games on Windows was a nightmare so much that I don't think it's ever going to be finished. Just because it's all... So much of it was built around... the elements in OS X, whereas the new
right.
Unity projects, you know, it's still going to take some tweaking here and there, but getting it to compile out for a Windows machine isn't going to be too difficult.
So, will you use Unity for all of your games eventually, or will you use it for real specific stuff?
I have no idea.
Wherever the project calls for it, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Also, are you guys diversifying beyond Mac and PC anytime soon?
Yes. We've already started.
Ooh.
At E3 was shown Totem Ball,
mm-hmm.
which was a camera-based game that we're doing with Strange Flavor, the guys behind Toy Sight and Airburst Extreme, and that's
mm-hmm.
for the Xbox 360. And then we would like to get into some more Xbox 360 stuff down the road.
I see.
I want someone on Xbox 360. Go!
What was that?
When's what coming out?
Kill Monty. Xbox 360. I want it. Go!
Actually, that's something we really considered quite a bit. We're just worried if it fits with the Robotrons and Smash TVs and Mutant Storm.
Yeah, we need to assassinate the Geometry Wars guys.
Yeah,
it just needs something a little different to make it different from all the other
options. That's wild. Justin Fick would be battling Geometry Wars.
Yeah.
And he should, because he's that caliber.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, we've been working with the 360 over at Harmonix, and like we had to write all this code to make it easier for the artists to use Holmes, the connective software.
How do you like that Visual Studio?
What?
How do you like that Visual Studio?
Oh, I hate Visual Studio. Don't get me started on Visual Studio. Don't get me started on Windows programming in general.
I was so glad to be done with that after Petro. I was like, no more Visual Studio under any circumstance. Dev C++, free, blam, done.
Mm-hmm.
Open source.
Thank you.
Now, I got to say, I was promised an all Wingnuts 2 podcast, and I heard a lot of Wingnuts 2 stuff while I was digging up my microphone, and now we're talking about board games in 360. Which is my Wingnuts 2, damn it. That's all I want to talk about.
Well, we were also promised a whole show with Bruce Morrison.
Look,
and we're a little mad at you about that.
Zipped us.
I was stuck in Brooklyn, and Blake Buck, does your phone have accept text messages? Because I tried to text you.
We turn our phones off
when
we
message.
Do the show.
From Bruce Morrison, let's read it. Blake, I'm in Brooklyn, and I'll be an hour late to the podcast.
All right, well, let's talk some more about Wingnuts 2, then. We've got to give away three copies, we're going to give away three copies of this game to the winner of our next contest. What is, gosh, I don't know. Like,
what's your favorite part of Wingnuts 2?
Go.
My favorite part of Wingnuts 2 is explosions. I could make explosions all
good
day
answer.
Long.
The,
so much fun.
The particle system in Wingnuts 2 is very impressive.
I love it. In fact, when I've gone and looked at some other engines just for fun, and I actually don't find their particle systems as easy to use, or they don't do everything I want to do. They seem to be limited. I'm kind of amazed by it. Every time I go back to it, I'm like, man, this made it almost too easy.
Yeah, Mark's really into that. Even with the first Wingnuts, just the particles were very cool. So he just, like, if you read an email by Mark about talking about particles, it's really a fun read because it's just really in-depth and crazy.
Yes. everything pretty much he did is in-depth and crazy. Especially, you can see it in the editor, some of the names of things. That's quite funny.
And he was really great to work with. I love working with Mark Anderson. You can basically send him an email that you wanted something, and like he might be silent for 2 weeks, and like 2 weeks he'd have it, and it'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. So is he not local?
Galveston, Texas.
Awesome.
Galveston.
Hmm.
Which is close to Houston.
Right.
Yeah. He had to flee for that whole hurricane.
Oh,
I remember we had him.
That
we
slowed
him
Wingnuts 2
source.
Development.
Mm-hmm. We got him to do a source code dump before he left, though, just in case.
Yeah, and Bruce, just to be funny, put in a giant storm in like one of the levels in early levels in Wingnuts.
Yeah, I was going to ask if that was the inspiration for the hurricane level.
It was. It's a little bit. Yeah, it was a little Hurricane Katrina in the game. To give it a sense.
Well, no, excellent.
I gotta say that the my most appreciated moment so far, I think I'm up like level 22 or so, has to be the snakes on a plane reference.
Oh, yes. That's right, we got that voice actress to do that. That was a lot of fun. Steve and I just sat around for a few days coming up with things we wanted voice actresses to say in the game.
Right, and she is really talented. It's great that we caught her.
Yeah.
Now, who is this we're talking about?
It was Linda, and she does all the female voices except for Jin. So she does Dokuringu, Frieza, and Reyna.
So no porn of her
of those characters.
Requested.
Yeah, we were pretty tame about that. I mean, even for the voice of Jen, like, last year, or even when we worked on Wingnuts 1, we just had her just say stuff that we wanted to have on a machine.
Right.
Yeah, we did cut out a few jokes that we had to cut out a few jokes that were deemed might be inappropriate, which is just kind of a shame.
The tunts are a free verse.
Can you give us an example?
Yeah, give us an example of one.
Yeah, the Baron had one about.
Oh, sorry.
Better hide that power.
It's not that inappropriate. It's just we thought someone might be offended.
Oh, you can say it.
It was a redheaded stepchild and beating reference.
Oh, it's in there. It's in the game.
No, it's not. It's in the beta. It's not in the final. It didn't make the cut.
Really?
It only made... Yeah, it's only. It was only in the betas.
What was it? Now I gotta know.
I mean, no, because I've downloaded the full version, and maybe it's because I have the beta, like, maybe data file somewhere that it's reading.
No.
But the line is in there. I've heard it.
We edited it. We edited it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. It's beat you like the monkey you are or something now, because it's okay to beat monkeys, I think, but not redheaded stepchildren.
No, before it was beat you like the unruly foster child.
That's what it is. The unruly foster child that you are. That's right. That's the one that was cut. The redheaded stepchild or whatever is left in is the unruly foster child that was cut.
Yeah, I mean I personally felt we didn't want to offend any foster kids that would be playing Ringnuts, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a foster child.
Yeah, you get another call from Blake Buck as a foster child.
Excuse me, sir.
I know his voice.
Our poor support guy is like, why is Blake doing this? Make people cry, Blake Buck. You make people cry.
Oh, I love it. That's my goal.
That's why Tim is so snarky, because of that Blake Buck phone call.
Yeah. I think we didn't cut too much. Most of the stuff got cut on the before we ever recorded it. I think Steve and I came up with just some stupid stuff. It didn't even make sense. We were just delirious and trying to get it done.
Right. It was Ian on us for like, oh, this needs to get done, and then we're like, yeah, and then delays with other games and. I was like, oh, Bruce, let's meet on Monday for lunch and talk about the script, and then it would become Wednesday and stuff like that.
Let me tell you, the night it launched, it was fully finished, ready to go, and the last build we got reintroduced a byte order bug on Intel machines. What was supposed to be a collision zone of three, there's three collision zones on a snake boss, became 3 billion, and if you had enough spots in RAM or whatever for it, you were fine. You just couldn't shoot the snake boss, but if you didn't have enough room, it would crash. And so we found that about, I don't know, say 6:30 p.m. after we had already released it. And so I think I stayed at work getting new builds and trying to track this problem down with Mark Anderson until like 3 a.m. On launch night. So,
I don't know if
any of you noticed, there were a few patches released right away, and they were all problems with the bytes on Intel machines. So, but now that's
done. Your bytes.
I know it was all stuff with there was a sound thing where it's supposed to wait like three. It was three again. It just the magic number, it was supposed to wait 3 seconds between songs, and instead it would wait 3 billion, and so you never got to hear your next music. It was small stuff like that. I mean, it just crept up on us because we had an interesting time getting the project from Code Warrior to Xcode.
So I imagine.
Yeah, we got help from Apple actually doing that, so it was quite nice.
How big's the code base? Cool.
Big. I haven't seen it in a while, but it's pretty large. Here, hang on. Give me a second here. I can at least see how big the file is zipped on the server.
Doesn't have a 7-minute link time like petroglyphs, whatever.
Man, that was ridiculous.
What happened now?
Like, I could print out this code base and kill people with it. Like, it's a lot of code.
There's a lot of code in it. The game does a lot, and a lot of it you may not even actually see, really in the game, or you may not notice it too much, but there's really a ton of stuff there. Let me see. Wingnuts 2 source compressed rolls in at 17.9 megs.
Wow.
So that's without all the, of course, all the assets.
There's a lot of heat in there.
There's a lot of heat. But as our Windows guy who was doing the port described it, it's the cleanest code he's seen. It's very well organized.
So you've got one guy doing the Windows port. How long did? Well, that you said that was on the sort of on the back burner.
Right. He was contracted to do the Windows port, and he's done other stuff for us. He's a good guy, Steven Cinto, and he got sucked into working on the 360 stuff,
right,
which I think makes him a little happier.
Right.
And so he sort of put that off indefinitely in order to help Strange Flavor guys finish the stuff we were contracted by Microsoft to do. So once that is over, depending on what projects do or don't creep up, he'll probably finish the Wingnuts. Actually, it runs on a PC. There's no hooks for input or sound yet, but the planes fly around and shoot and everything. You just can't fly the plane.
Yes, Steve worked on the Wingnuts 1 port for PC.
Yeah.
I see.
And a couple other things, I think.
I know
the next project he's going to rewrite GameSmith, the server. So. That's, I think, almost just a personal issue. He just is angry with the current fate. He's like, I'm just going to rewrite it. He's a really cool guy.
Awesome.
Very interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can do in the game that I don't think a lot of people realize, and I think it's because it's used very minimally in Wingnuts 2, because we sort of just try to use everything it can do at least once.
Mm-hmm.
So you may miss one or two times some of the extras you can do. I'd like to see the mod makers really really focus on one or two of these extra things and, design a whole level or something around one of these crazier abilities that don't show up too much.
So are you doing anything else besides documentation to foster a modding community for Wingnuts 2?
First I'm going to get the documentation up, and then I'm going to make a pirate ship mod, because I've already got it all planned out, I just need to put it together.
Right.
Where you're a pirate ship, and you sail around on, the high seas, and shoot other pirate ships and collect treasure. Good, clean fun. I think our new web forms, we redesigned our web forms, and they've been down. They're going to come up pretty soon here. I think once we just get the DNS name switched over for the new server.
Mm-hmm.
And so there'll be a place there for mod people to do stuff. And I'm just going to try to make myself as available to the community as humanly possible,
right,
to answer any questions, to show people how to do stuff. I think we're going to try to help host content for people,
mm-hmm,
so to provide content. And then I don't actually know how to build a patch for inserting new content into Wingnuts 2,
mm-hmm,
so I may have to sit down with Mark and help the mod makers figure out how they can quickly distribute, say, a patch,
right,
for certain things.
Right.
So, I mean, we're really going to try to do everything we can for the mod community to help them along. Email support and everything. I really want to see people just at least open it up, give it a shot, and see what they can make. Because you can really make some very visually impressive stuff with very minimal art assets, which is one thing I really like
about
it.
Cool.
And plus, you have all their art assets that are already in the game to choose from.
Yeah, that's it.
Hmm.
So it's pretty cool stuff. But was there any questions you guys had that Steve wasn't able to answer? I'd love to clear any of those up if you can remember them. And if not,
yeah, where do your secret new projects go?
Secret new projects. Escort Wing, which is no longer be called Escort Wing. I have no idea. But we're working with Will on that. In fact, he just sent me an instant message of a new build he just put together of the new game that now has sound. So I'm actually going to download this as we're talking. But that's sort of a smaller side project, but it's going to be quite fun. Do we have anything secret? I don't know. We have stuff that's like super duper secret, but I don't think we have anything that's just secret.
Come on. You can let that super duper heat flow.
The Escort Wing, I guess that's what's secret. Oh, that's the winner of the iDev thing.
I just contest.
The winner.
Yeah.
We're probably doing another one for the winter. Although that might conflict with Carlos and things. So never mind.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe we should just team up with them or something. I'm telling you, the next contest, we need to, like, provide people with content that they have to use in some kind of cool way. I think that's
a lot
more interesting.
Lots of the submissions, anyone that submitted to that contest, we have their contact info, and for contracting work, we've actually gone to some of these people and be like, this was really good, can you do this with us?
Yeah, I think Matt Diamond, I think he's doing something. I think they're working now. But he entered that Pawns is like third place.
Mm-hmm. Right, that was that was also with Unity, if I remember.
With Unity, yeah. And I think we snagged him up for something. I don't honestly remember. Oh, hang on, I gotta ask Steve if I can talk about something.
He's using sign language right now. There it is. The Bruce Morrison laugh. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you. You can hear us typing in the background to each other.
While we wait, I'll share an anecdote.
Yeah, I agree. An anecdote?
So, I was sitting down here, setting up for the podcast. Ben Buck comes down here, and he starts talking about food or something. I don't really remember how he got on food. It's kind of naturally happens with Ben Buck. And so he said, the topic of Pop-Tarts came up. He's like, man, what you need to do, man, get some butter and put it on the Pop-Tarts. Ben Buck butters his Pop-Tarts.
As he should. Butter makes every food known to mankind better. And that's the truth. That's
butter Pop-Tarts.
Truth. Yeah, why not?
Good to me.
You butter waffles and pancakes.
Sure.
Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. Yeah, Pop-Tarts are pure confectionery frosting and junk. All right.
I will risk this one. I think we can talk about it. We're bringing comic life to Windows, but we're not just kind of bringing it to Windows. We're full on bringing it. It is going to be pretty much identical to the Mac version, which means we're making a Windows program behave just like it's on a Mac, which. It's really taken some impressive code. We've basically completely locked up, i5 Works guys. They do ports and stuff, and we pretty much just monopolize their time with this because we want to create an identical experience on Windows, which means we're having to recreate all of this stuff that Apple just gives you for free. It doesn't exist on Windows. You know, all the different libraries and stuff we use, and its ability to jump into different, you know, like grab my pictures in this case and all that stuff. And yeah, so that we're hoping is going to be huge because we've seen what the other comic programs are on Windows, and we think we can just smash them. That's our goal.
Decimate.
Yeah, that's our goal to just smash them. So. That's coming along nicely. I've seen a couple of alphas. It's very pretty. Looks very much like the Mac version. So that's on the horizon. I don't think that's super duper secret, but I don't think we've made any big announcement. I made a Freeverse MySpace page.
Right.
Boy, you should link it to the IMG podcast page.
it's MySpace/ Freeverse Software. So it's not super hard to find. I had a lot of fun. And it's like, I'm going to make one. Because I don't know if any of you guys saw Clerks 2.
I heard about that. Dying to see
but
it.
He puts all of the Clerks MySpace friends in the credits at the end. And that list was just unbelievable. If I could, if we could sell a game that had that many people buy it that were on that list, we'd be off in like some tropical paradise on a cruise right now. We wouldn't be talking to the Inside Mac Games podcast.
I've been Lamborghini.
Oh.
Yeah. So I figure if we can tap into a hundredth of what Kevin Smith and VSQ got, we might, pick up some extra customers and stuff. And, Rupert Murdoch had to have bought it for some reason, so we made it a MySpace page. It's quite fun.
As much as I hate that website, it just lends itself to spreading things of that viral nature. It's like, here's this crazy video, here's this crazy game, blam.
I'm really surprised. I don't see on it as much as I thought I would. I kind of scoured it for games and game companies, and I'm kind of surprised that there isn't. I expect we're going to see that here pretty soon, probably, within the next several months, is the game companies are going to start jumping on the MySpace wagon. Mm-hmm. Like the next Grand Theft Auto game is probably going to have a MySpace page. Everybody's going to have, with Tommy Vercetti or whatever is their friend.
Yeah. Oh, I see it.
So,
I see MySpace. I see it. Yep.
You can check us out on MySpace at myspace.com/IMGpodcast.
You guys have one?
Yeah, we do, actually.
Oh,
we do. There's nothing there.
Oh, well, take something.
Blake Bug was just trying to find a hot date on MySpace.
Yeah, that's pretty much my goal.
IMG Podcast, ASL. You say?
Yeah. I love how this says Freeverse Software has 6 billion friends.
Oh, yeah.
I doubt we have 6 billion friends.
No, man, we are that popular.
What?
You don't know. We are that popular, man. We have billions of friends.
But only only 6 of them are actually listed on the front page here.
Well, we can't list everyone. That's just absurd. But, I think we're just... we're really getting ready for the fun of... Heroes of Might and Magic, and making sure that's all happy. Finishing the last bit of our Xbox 360 contract work. Total Ball, like I said, that's been announced. I don't know if the other one has been publicly announced, so I will not mention it because I haven't seen it listed anywhere. And so once that stuff is done, we got a lot of stuff on the plate. And unfortunately, Steve and I have a lot of stuff we can't talk about. So we're giggling to ourselves.
Y'all better be ready, because I'm coming to New York.
Oh, well, you got to come up.
Come down.
Make sure you don't visit during WWDC or Game Fest, because the office will be pretty blank during that time.
Where is WWDC this year?
San Francisco.
Is it in San Francisco?
Yes.
Cupertino?
Javits, I do believe.
No, that's Moscone.
Moscone, sorry. Javits is in New York. Sorry. Yeah, half the office is going to be there, and then the other half of the office is going to Microsoft's X-Fest, or Game Fest, for the 360 development.
Look, Apple Microsoft Game, Game Fest. Fest. Why doesn't Apple have Game Fest?
Because Apple loves and hates games. There was a Apple ad on the front page of GameSpot the other day. What was that all about?
Wait,
are you serious?
Front of GameSpot, that big, the best placement banner ad spot you can put a banner ad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the one where they count down how many viruses there are for Windows and then how many there are for Mac, and then it's like, buy a Mac, Apple.com. And I'm like, so wait, Apple, do you love games or do you hate games? I'm a little confused here.
Yeah, don't try and pull gamers in, because you're just going to crap on them later.
That's right.
So yeah, it's a little confusing. But oh, speaking of that, we did get our paperwork for Wingnuts 2 being a finalist for an Apple Design Award. So
oh, really?
Ooh.
Yeah,
excellent. I've got our fingers crossed. I don't know. I have
Dude,
no
what's,
idea.
What's the competition?
We have no idea. It could be as deep as every title Aspyr released in 2006 or 5 or half of 5 and half of 6.
Yeah, but part of that award is how well it fits in with Apple in general,
right?
Right. So, I mean, Aspyr's doing ports, so it's not that big of a deal.
But the problem is games remove, like, you remove this pretty much all of OS X when you play a game because it's full screen. And, you know, you've usually got a custom mouse, custom buttons, custom sound. So it's like a lot of the Apple experience is removed. I mean, pretty much, if you don't use an installer and you're just drag and drop, that's not the only way you can preserve
it. Well, is there
it,
a games category for
the
There's
a games
awards?
Category. It was new as of
last year.
Last year? When World of Warcraft won.
Well, then again, but I guess that is, like, developed first party.
Yeah. Okay. And so they had a booth. They have you saw their booth. Remember the little World of Warcraft stand?
Yeah,
we
saw that power.
One iMac.
Yeah, one iMac with the lead head and at the time only programmer for the Mac. And yeah,
just think you could be at that tiny booth next year, Bruce Morrison.
I want to be. I hope that tiny booth is right by our big booth next year. I think we're going to pull out all the stops.
You can devour them.
Oh, ooh. Next year we're bringing heat to your booth.
You better
devour
bring...
We're going to be armed and dangerous.
We're packing already. We're packing in the office, so... Yeah. We're bringing that New York East Coast representing out to the West Coast. So
I'm doing the good old boy. Bring it up down south.
Big Buck's got his rock salt packed in his shotgun real good.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you better be watching out. No.
Justin,
I'm gonna nail you in the face with a frisbee.
Okay.
So, I'm hoping we get to pull out all the stops for the Macworld. I don't know if we will, but I'm gonna beg that we go nuts.
You need to have the big inflatable monkey. Like,
yeah, what happened to that?
Yeah,
year.
What happened?
We gave it away to Rich Hernandez, his kid or cousin. Or
what happened
something.
To Rich Hernandez?
He now works for Microsoft in the Xbox division.
That's it. I'm done with Apple. IMG. Yeah. It's over. It's Microsoft MMG. Wait a minute.
Yeah. He
Wait,
left.
It's still be IMG.
Said,
damn it.
Microsoft, I'll work for you if you let me keep my Power Mac. And they said, sure, come along. And so he did. And now, ironically, we're working with him again because, part of his job was making sure the right people had their Xbox 360 development kits. So he was once again talking with us about making sure that we had the right ones and we had them licensed or registered or whatever they do over there.
I tell you what, here's what we're going to do. Next week, I'm going to send an email to Steve Jobs, and he's going to come on the show. We're going to set him right.
Okay. Keep working.
We'll tell him what he's
Keep
doing
working.
Wrong.
You never know.
Yeah.
Then we're going to have a death match with Steve.
He can be on Battle.
He can be on Battle.
Well, we didn't have Battle this week, but whatever. Well, we should probably wrap it up here, guys. It's been great that you've been on the show. We're happy to have you anytime.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
I'm really sorry I was late to the party. Sorry about that, guys. I just stuck out in Brooklyn.
No problem. We all know that you're pushing cocaine across the tracks. We know.
So what?
So, William Miller, Justin Fick, do we want to do a battle this week?
No, we're already
going
over 2 hours. So.
Yeah, we're
a battle.
Over.
Can't see in the chat. Time.
I've been so out of the times. What's the battle?
Oh, battle.
Battle, you say? It's where we yell at our callers.
Yeah, it's where we push the whole thing. Our listeners feel bad.
Wow.
I have a feeling, though, if we don't do chat, they're going to get really pissed.
Dude, it's... What are we running now? Are we, like... This is, like, 2 hours and 15 minutes.
It's, like, 2 hours and 15 minutes now.
man.
Oh, it's 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah, this.
Well,
this,
I'll
this
tell you what, guys. For those of you listening in, next week, double battle. So we'll have an extra long show with a double battle next week. What?
What the heck is that?
I don't know what that is.
Steve Z, stop killing that cat!
I think Steve's watching TV, guys. you bored him.
Alright.
All right.
Look forward to those contest entries for next week.
Yeah.
Ooh, what's the contest?
Where?
The contest is whoever draws the three best pieces of fan art for original Freeverse games will win a copy of Wingnuts 2.
I love fan art. Come on, people. Take the crowd.
But no compromises of
comic life.
We'll make Chris Peretti put it up on the Freeverse webpage if it's really awesome.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, there you go. Double prize.
Awesome.
That's some power. Oh, I can't find the clip, so we're going to have to use the regular clip. All right. And that's the end. That's us for this week in Mac Gaming, guys. Let's see. What do you think about that?
That was a hell of a monster show.
Oh my gosh, you're right.
It was a long show.
If you'd like to send us an email, podcast@insidemacgames.com. Also, you can call into our listener line at 231 Heat D Go. Also, don't vote this month. What?
No, don't. Do not vote this month.
What?
Don't vote this month. Hide that power. All right. So, from all of us at Inside Mac Games,
okay.
My name's Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
On the set.
I'm Bruce Morrison.
And we will see you next time.